Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. At the end of this month, the president of Williams College will step down to take the helm of the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation. Adam Falk has led Williams since 2010, during which time the school has grown its endowment by more than $1 billion, now topping $2.5 billion for a campus of about 2,000 students. And that's students, I should say, and that's obviously not the only thing that's changed during his tenure. And joining us now from Williamstown is President Adam Falk. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
And so first of all, let me just ask you, I'm going to ask you about endowments in a second here, but tell us a little bit more about your decision to step down now. Eight years is long, but not that long.
8 years is kind of average for a college president, and I had a wonderful opportunity to lead the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, which is really a great foundation that supports science and economics and the public understanding of science and economics. So it has a research mission and an educational mission, and I couldn't pass up the opportunity to join that remarkable institution.
Okay, so that good enough reason for me. I just wanted to check to be sure there wasn't a story behind the story there. So let's talk about for a second, since in the last segment we were talking with Congressman Michael Capuano about the tax overhaul, which passed the House, because there are aspects of it which will have an impact on a lot of key colleges and universities in Massachusetts. And I just wanted to ask you specifically about the endowment excise tax. That looks like if President Trump, which he will, signs the bill, is going to happen. It's going to impose a 1.4% tax on investment incomes from schools with large endowments, which Williams is one of them. So what impact might this have on Williams?
Well, I think it's significant, and I think this is unprecedented to tax the endowment earnings of operating foundations. So this, historically, one is taxed the endowment earnings of the foundations like the Sloan Foundation that make grants to other institutions. And those were taxes that were meant to give the IRS the resources necessary to monitor whether those institutions were actually making philanthropic contributions in the way they should. But hospitals and museums, colleges and universities had never had their endowment earnings taxed because we spend those earnings on our mission. And our mission is educating students. One of the reasons that we're so fortunate is that we have an endowment of the size that we do that allows us to run the college not on tuition revenue primarily, but primarily on endowment earnings.
Uh-huh.
And that means that, you know, as more than half of our students don't pay the full tuition that is on our website. Even people who do have their at least a third of their education is actually paid for by the earnings from the endowment. We have more than 20% of our students are on Pell Grants. About 20% of them are first-generation college students. All of that is possible because our economic model relies on endowment payout, endowment earnings, rather than on primarily on tuition to run the college. And so to tax that in those earnings is to directly impact the education that we're able to provide to all of those students.
Well, since you brought up tuition, I mean, the cost of higher education, the cost of a college education keeps ratcheting up and up and up faster than the pace of inflation. I think we were looking at some numbers, and all told, you know, if a person hadn't been receiving any kind of assistance from Williams or loans, going to Williams would cost something like $70,000 a year. Okay, that's everything together. I mean, what can we do to make it more affordable?
Well, I think that the if at the beginning of your sentence is the important one. That is, the only people who actually pay $70,000 a year are those who are fortunate enough to be able to afford that. And we ask families to pay only what they can afford. And again, most of our families receive some kind of financial aid. And so what they pay is unrelated to that $70,000. They pay what the financial aid analysis indicates their family can afford. I'd point out that although college tuitions are going up and college fees are going up faster than the overall rate of inflation, income inequality in our country is growing. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the rate of income growth in that part of the of our society that can afford $70,000, the rate of inflation for them, the rate of income growth for them, is larger than the rate of the increase in our comprehensive fee. So for the families that can afford it, it's not getting harder to afford. And for the families that can't, it doesn't matter what our comprehensive fee is, because our financial aid program means that they only pay what they can afford in real terms.
Yeah. You know, college campuses have long been the nexus of so many pressing issues that the country faces. And this is, you know, since time immemorial, but definitely now as well. So I've got a couple questions about big issues that college presidents have been facing. For example, in the area of adjudication of sexual assault, campus sexual assault. Now, you set up an extremely aggressive goal of zero sexual assaults on campus at Williams. I mean, how realistic is that goal? And how close have you come to achieving that?
Well, I don't think there's any other goal that's an ethical, moral goal to have. And we have that goal because, you know, it's simply unacceptable to have people in on our campus who are subject to violence, just as I'm sure it's our goal in the country that there should be no violent crime, even if we know that in our country there is violent crime and we have to deal with that. But I think to set out that marker is to say, to make a moral statement about the behavior we expect of our students and the safety that we expect that our students ought to be able to expect when they come to the campus. I would say that the most important piece of this is not the adjudication, it's the prevention and the education efforts. And we've invested deeply in those. And those are really investments in the nature of our community and getting students to care for each other, to take responsibility for each other, to not only check their own behavior, but to check their behavior as a community. And I think we are seeing progress in that. I wish I could say that we don't have incidents of sexual assault on our campus. There's no college president who can say that truthfully. But we're not going to stop working on this issue until we get there.
Okay, so what about the issue then, moving on to another hot button one, of free speech on college campuses? I mean, you've come under some criticism for a February 2016 decision to deny a controversial speaker an speaking engagement on campus. I mean, lots of people think that college campuses, liberal arts college campuses, to say the least, have become places of intolerance when it comes to controversial speech.
Yeah, I think that sells our students really short. I mean, I think it's a great headline that somebody at Middlebury was shouted off the stage or something happened here or there. But the fact is, you're going to find more robust and thoughtful and respectful discussion of difficult issues on our college campuses than practically anywhere else in our society. Certainly more than you're going to find it on television news shows, certainly more than you're going to find it in the halls of Congress. So, you know, I'm proud of the work that our students do to engage across differences. You know, to run a college campus is not exactly the same as a town square. And we don't have the obligation to invite absolutely anyone to say absolutely anything to absolutely anyone on our campuses. I didn't like to not allow this particular speaker to speak 2 years ago. This was someone whose writing was so explicitly racist that he had been fired by the National Review. I didn't think that he added anything in terms of intelligent discourse about difficult issues. He was simply coming to provoke our students and say outrageous things. And I didn't think it added to exactly that goal that's so important to us, which is serious conversation about serious issues.
So let me just ask you a quick question there before we run out too much time. I was I like your phrasing about town squares and college campuses. Now, you're saying that a college campus shouldn't exactly be like a town square, but I'm wondering, maybe it should. Maybe college campuses are exactly the place right now, given the polarization of America, that should try to model themselves as the town square or town squares in which civil discourse can occur, even between the most incendiary positions.
Right. So, and I think that I agree with that. I think that the college campuses should be exactly those places. But that requires work on the part of the community to create environments in which those conversations can take place. So how does that happen at a place like Williams? We invite speakers who have different points of view to debate each other and engage with each other. We have on our campus as a visiting professor right now, Chris Gibson, who's a Republican representative from the state of New York, recently retired. And, you know, our goal is to bring him into conversation with people with other points of view, with more liberal folks. But to do that in a way that, you know, that the program is one that is thoughtful and respectful, and students have a chance to ask questions thoughtfully and respectfully. That's not the same as saying that, a Richard Spencer can just come onto any college campus and shout racist invective. That doesn't move forward that goal, which is so important, of creating the kinds of town squares that you're talking about.
Well, we have just about a minute to go here, and last question, since this is something of an exit interview with you, what are you going to miss most about being president at Williams?
I'm going to miss the students. I've been in higher education ever since I went to college without stop. And to be around young people, 18 to 22 years old, is a great privilege. Young people are complicated. Every one of us was complicated when we were that age. But they are the future of our country. They are the future of our world. They have enormous potential. And to do the work of working with them to help them realize that potential for their own good, for good of the country, is one of the great, wonderful things you can do in your professional life. And I'm going to miss our students enormously.
Well, Adam Falk is the outgoing president of Williams College in Williamstown. He steps down at the end of this month. President Falk, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Meghna.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.